Blog Talk Radio.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, dying, begging, crying. Somebody need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening. Thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing. I was frontin', truly frontin'. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, I'm down here dying, begging, crying. Somebody ought to pray for me. I'm making you this promise right now. If you can do this one thing for me, I'll be the man that you want. I'll be the man that you need. Church every Sunday, prayers every Monday.
Good evening, Alafia and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7. I'm live coming to you straight from the atmosphere. I'd like to welcome my old friends and say what's up. And I'd like to say habari gani to my new friends. We want to welcome you to our new segment. We've been covering the schools of nature. We've come around in full circle. We've covered the full gamut of talking about schools of thought, schools of clairvoyantness, schools of psychology, schools of psychic, schools of looking at new curriculum, schools of looking at including culture. We've even covered the area schools of new beginnings. Last night was a special night. It was new beginnings. We marked the new beginnings last night. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness and right action. And what do we need to do in order to be able to start again? You can't start again until you have asked forgiveness for anyone that you might have ought against. It's very important that we understand that that law and principle in the Bible, the mutilated Bible, I might add, is still correct for today. You can't start over. You can't put new wine in an old vessel. You have to start over, ladies and gentlemen. You have to ask for someone to forgive you, to beg your apology so that you can be in right standing. And that's called right action. When we know to do something right, that is called right action. And we're going to be talking about that. How do you get right action? And how do you get forgiveness from your brothers and sisters? Because we sure have to offer an apology to Mother Nature, because we have definitely been creating a suicide mission for her, dumping and doing all sorts of things to destroy the earth. We definitely have to understand that you don't go to bed at night and rest easy without asking for someone to forgive you if there was something you knowingly and intentionally did that was not right. We're going to be talking about that. And this is New Beginnings, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you realize it, but our President Obama is in the right place at the right time, and so are we. Now, we've been hollering about all the jobs going abroad and the fact that there's nothing here for us. There's been something done that has changed the course of history. You ought to go and research it. That new Job Act was passed by Congress in April. Now, what does it mean, ladies and gentlemen? I don't want to spill the beans just yet, because I plan to do a whole segment on the Job Act and what it actually means for entrepreneurs and new startup businesses. We are going to be given a chance to have right standing again. We're going to be given the opportunity to be our own bosses and contract ourselves out. So we're going to talk about that during next month's segment, but we'll be covering that in detail because that goes right along with new beginnings. And we're going to be inviting some experts in that can tell you about how you can get involved with starting your new beginning and how you can get involved in having your own business. But right now we're talking about forgiveness. That's what we're on, the topic of forgiveness. And don't go around being mad at somebody. Ask them to beg your pardon. Now stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll meet you in the atmosphere. So clear up your face.
I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the way she cares. I'm mad at the way she touched me, at the way that she combed my hair. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I say I didn't care. I'd be lying if I say I didn't love her. I'm still here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm still here. All right, I hope you cleared your face up. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Sunday evening, and we have to close or begin the week with a bang, because you're going to get relief today, ladies and gentlemen. We want to start off by getting that relief by going over to the throne of grace, and we're going to offer a prayer. And as we offer a prayer, we are going to minister to those who are low in spirit so that they can be lifted and encouraged. And ladies and gentlemen, we do this in this room because it is a rites of passage, and it is an opportunity for us to lift up the Most High. So we're going to lift up God, Oladulamare, and we lift him up and we say Ashe to Oladulamare. I like to pour libation to my mother's spirit, Yamenja Clara Jenkins Ashe. I like to pour libation to my father's spirit and say Ashe Obatala Robert Jenkins. I pour libation to all four corners of the cardinal direction. I pour libation to the east and I say Ashe. Let the ancestors come from where they may. Let them come from the middle passage. May they come from the Red Sea. And those whose names we do not know, who are yet traveling, who are still in the womb, we call those loving souls out of the Mayafa. And we call on Sheikh Esdia. We call on Madam C.J. Walker. We call on Harriet Tubman. We call on Surgeon of Truth. We call on Dr. Carruthers, Dr. John Henry Clark, and we call on Sheikh S. Diop. We call on the great honorable Elijah Muhammad. We call these ancestors into being and ask them if they will come and allow us to stand on their shoulders once again. And as I pour libation to the east, I say Ashe. And I call libations to the west, and I say Ashe. And as I call those ancestors that might still be out in the Red Sea, I call each and every one of them forward, and I ask them to be present here. And then I pour libations to the north and say Ashe. Finally, I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. And if there be any ancestors whose names I don't know, unbeknown to me, that are still traveling, that are still in the wombs of the mothers who were in the Mayafa, our suffering and our beginning of the Mayafa is going to be changed. As we look over our shoulder now, we know that there's a Sankofa bird that will tell us that we cannot know our future unless we look back and grasp our past in order to create our future. There is no here and now, only the future for us. We live in the future and we also live in the past. Let us be reminded of the fact that Sankofa bird represents our past and our future as we go into the new millennium and prepare ourselves not only for new beginnings, but to ask forgiveness. Give us the ability to get right on the path of having right action, Father, so that we can ask for forgiveness and we can go boldly before the throne of God and we can petition on our own behalf. Now that we know that there is a thing called new beginning, we have to get in a position to receive. And right now, it's going to be raining capital all over the earth with the new beginnings of the Job Act. This will open up opportunities for every African American who was for 75 years barred from being a part of this great act. Now that you've lifted the bar, Father, you're lifting the bar off of everything so that everything that was hidden will be known. And those things that were hiding away up under rocks, the rocks are now crying out to free them so that they may reveal the secrets that have been held away from African Americans. Now we will be able to see that it is not important to have a job, and those jobs left for a reason. Now it's important for us to be entrepreneurs. Let us become the entrepreneurship that we've always had in us because our ancestors have built the foundation. And this is the latter days, and our latter days will be greater than our previous days. We say amen, amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We are now starting the process of the topic of Welcome to the School for Forgiveness and Right Action. That's what the topic is on this evening, and we have a guest in the rear here, and I'm going to invite him in to be a part of this discussion. Let me say hello to him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to lock that dial in, you can. That dial is 646-478-0270. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us, and who do I have the pleasure of saying hello to this evening?
Well, this is Dr. John Smith.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Just great. Our topic this evening, Dr. John, is the School of Forgiveness and Right Action. And we'd like to also know if we could also call you by your nickname as well, because people do know you as the name of Tag as well. Is that okay if we call you that this evening?
No, it's not.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Now, we are talking about the School of Forgiveness. Now, people tend to forget that if I've done some injustice to someone, that I don't have to go back and ask their forgiveness, that I can go right on and I'm going to be prosperous and I'm going to receive from the Creator. But, Brother Tag, do you know that to be a fact? Have you known people who have done so much dirt in their life that when they go to do something, nothing seems to work out for them? Things fall apart. Have you noticed that?
I really haven't noticed. I mean, can you be more specific?
For example, if a person has done a lot of dirt in one city and they've covered it up, and then they go and conceal that information and go to a brand new city and try to start over, but it looks like nothing will work for that person, and that person continues to have all types of problems in trying to prevail and trying to excel in what they're doing. Have you noticed that that person's whole project falls apart? Do you know what I'm saying, you know?
On that.
Okay, well, let me give it a better example. For example, a man becomes corruptive and he disrupts his family. He disrespects his wife. He violates her, and he does not pay homage to her. Then he goes out and decides to move away to another city and starts over. But for some reason, everything that he touched seems to crumble and fall apart, and he cannot get off the ground for failing, and he continues to say, what is it that I have done wrong? He has developed amnesia about all the wrong things he's done, and he's never stopped to realize, before I lay down at night, I must ask if I have aught against anyone and ask for prayer. That's what I'm talking about. Now do you get what I'm saying?
Well, it's almost like he was cursed because he didn't ask for forgiveness in the other situation that he was in. And now he has to deal with what's going on in life and not being able to forgive and asking God for forgiveness.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And there's a large number of us, Brother Tag, that have gone from place to place, and we've left a tailgate of problems behind us, and we are wondering, why are we being apprehended and cursed, just like you said? And that's exactly what we have on us, is a curse. And the way you break a curse is very important. It's very important to know that you don't have to go to a soothsayer or a priest to find out if you've been cursed. If you know you have people you did wrong or mistreated or someone that you haven't been fair, square dealing with, you know yourself that you've cursed yourself. And the Bible talks about curses be anything that hangs on the tree. I say also, cursed is the man that doesn't ask for forgiveness, or a woman. So we have to make sure, if we're getting ready to start on new beginnings, and the new beginning is where the new world order comes into place, because this is what this whole thing is about, Brother Tag, is we've been talking about when we start all over again and we get ready to make that transition and going into a new paradigm, we're going to have to change and get in right standing with God. We're going to have to not only get in right standing with God, we're going to have to make some allowances and ask for some forgiveness. Now, why is it so hard for people to ask for forgiveness? Do you know?
To give in and ask forgiveness, knowing that karma plays a big role into cleansing your soul and starting over again.
So what is karma? So how does karma fit into the picture?
You do what others are doing to you. You don't do dirt or it's going to come back to you tenfold.
I see. So then karma could come into the picture and remind you of how this is payback time. In other words, karma is representing payback time. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Expound upon that a little bit. So in what situation, give me an example of how that karma would work against a person who did not forgive somebody who has unforgiveness. Give me an example.
Well, it's already working. Like you gave the example of a man that disrupted his whole household, left, didn't say he was sorry, didn't repent, and didn't try to start over a new leaf. It came back to him almost tenfold. Everything he touched crumbled.
And that's usually how it is. Now, we're getting ready for a new millennium tag, and that new millennium that we're getting ready for is one that will mean that we have to be in right standing and getting in right standing and producing right action. Now, what I mean by right action is that when you know to do right, then just like the brother in the movie that said do the right thing, do the right thing. That's right action. Now, when you have gone into some type of covenant or collaboration or business deal with someone, the way to do business would be to meet that brother square deal. It used to be a time we could do a handshake, and that was good enough. Now we have to do contracts to make sure that the person is not going to walk out on us. But if they do, then some people are willing to accept your forgiveness. It's very important that you understand that when you have out against someone, you have to ask them, will you accept my forgiveness? And you have to wait for their response. Sometimes it might not be immediate. They may wait before they answer your response. But it's very, very important that you should understand that you have to give that person time to heal before they make their decision. But it's always in good order and right action to accept the forgiveness, but you don't forget the deed. A lot of people think you throw everything out the window and say, I'm just going to forget you did that. I'm just going to leave myself vulnerable all over again. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying you don't forget the action, and you don't forget that that person acted like a snake, and you don't forget what he's capable of doing so that you won't fall prey to the same action again. You begin to function with right action, and you feed that person with a long-handled spoon. You know how far to come and what distance to keep. So therefore, you're using that knowledge to help you deal with that person better, but you've accepted the apology. So it's not right. Do you think it's right, Tag, after you said that you accept the apology, do you think it's right for you to keep mentioning that incident over and over again and beating that person over the head with that same incident? Is it right?
No, it's not. Because once you forget, you do that. You don't have to keep reminding other person or they're liable to repeat the same thing over again.
Are they reliving the same incident over and over again, paying for it more than once?
Yes, they probably are.
Now, we are guilty of that. I know as human being I am. Sometimes you'll say, oh, I don't want to forget what you did to me, so I want to remind you each and every time. Then I truly haven't forgiven if I got to keep reminding you, have I?
Really, that's just almost, if you keep reminding, really, that's just bringing bad karma on you. Because
that's right.
when you do something, then they're going to do, and somebody else can do the same thing, too. When you always put one finger at somebody, there's always five pointing back at you. Everyone makes mistakes. And once they learn from their mistakes, believe me, their lesson is going to be well learned than somebody reminding them every 5 minutes. Because, I mean, if that's the case, then the whole world would even be able to move on. If that's the case, the whole world would have gave up back at 9/11. Whose fault is that? We don't know whose fault it is. And then, you know, we blame this, blame that. So, you know, people got to move on from their mistakes.
That's a good point. Very good point. Now, I would like to say that men and women are pretty bad at this at this thing called forgiveness, and sometimes we hold a grudge so long that we miss our blessings because we are holding on to something, and we claim that we buried the hatchet, but we haven't, and that affects the relationship. Unforgiveness affects any relationship, be it male or female, or just another male, or just another opposite friend. It's important that we understand that when we say we forgive, we truly forgive, and we treat that person on equal terms. But the right action would be is that we start dealing with that person differently, and we use different types of method for dealing with the person so we can help that person heal, and in their slow process of growth, they could come into right standing and be the right person they should be. Now, we're coming into a new millennium tag, and we're going to be doing a lot of things different than what we did in the past. Even forgiveness is going to be wanted a different way, and even the way we have relationships is going to be different in the future. And our future is right around the corner, and when I say things are changing right before our eyes, we're going to get to see people up close and personal. Can I get up close and personal with you right now? Is that possible for me to ask you some personal questions and see if you could be able to handle it? And some people can't handle the truth. Is that all right?
Well, it's okay as long as I decide to answer.
That's good. Thank you. Now, what happens to unforgiveness that's never addressed and you bury it? What happens to it, and how does it affect the person outwardly? And have you had the pleasure of seeing someone go into a deep, deep depression, and they have apprehensions about everything, and they are no longer themselves anymore? And it seems like to me that what happens is this unforgiveness is unfinished business. And long as it's unfinished, they can't do what?
They can't move on.
They can't move on. So what happens? Is it a crippling effect or what?
Well, really, it's just like a burden they're carrying with them.
It's a burden that they're carrying with them. Absolutely true. Because the person that needs to ask forgiveness is crucified a second time and a third time all over again. And if the person on the other end refuses to respond to their request for forgiveness, then they have unfinished business and they can't move on. It hinders a person from growing and developing. What would the right action be in a situation like that if you knew the person was suffering that you didn't forgive?
Right, that's going to be encouraging because, I mean, the world beats you up enough of worrying what, you know, your next move is going to be. Of worrying, it's just hard enough just fitting in. So why would you need the people close to you giving you even a harder time? That makes you feel like you have nobody out of your corner.
Right. So when a person makes a mistake or does something out of norm, then the person that you love, you would think, would be more sensitive and could be able to forgive you. But sometimes the person that's closest to you is the hardest to forgive you because they feel like it's a personal blow against them. What is it that people feel when they say, oh, you personally hurt me, and they think it was a personal attack against them? Why do they feel like that?
Because the way you probably approached them in a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have to watch the words that they're saying and the tone that they speak it, because sometimes they speak those things in existence. And that other person's life almost becomes that. Sometimes people say that your words can almost be as powerful as your actions, because if you speak those words into actions, then that shows that they gave them power for those things to exist in the atmosphere.
Well, why are so many people angry at God? I mean, you got a lot of young people dying, and they don't understand death. And the first thing they think is, God was really in this earth, all this stuff wouldn't be happening. And why did God let those people die? And why did God let my brother die, my sister die, my little homie die? And they become very, very critical against God, and they have unforgiveness in their heart, and they put up a wall. So they personally think God is taking an attack against them. And they're building up a wall so they can never forgive. So therefore, can God get any blessings to them?
Well, it's kind of hard to say who God can get blessings to. You know, I mean, even though they could be living their lives, you know, like a heathen, sometimes it's not for us to say. You know, it's kind of hard to answer that question.
Well, you know, the first line of being able to receive a blessing is that you have to cleanse your heart. And if your heart is very heavy and burdened, you wouldn't know if God was sending you a blessing or not, because that's the first prerequisite, is that you must go and say into this mountain before you ask for this mountain to be removed. Over, I think, in the book of Mark, it says to ask for forgiveness if you have aught, because that mountain won't be removed because you are carrying around a burden that you've never asked forgiveness for. And there's a lot of us who have not asked forgiveness. And I think the Caucasian and all of the people who participated in the war, some of the Africans, they definitely need to ask an apology of the African-American. And they sincerely need to do that, even though they may say their parents were involved and they weren't involved, but they reaped the benefit of what their parents had sold upon the Africans, the Americans, when they put them in slavery. So in order to cleanse their soul, they do need to ask forgiveness. Over in Europe, I noted that there were Germans who were sincerely warped by this unforgiveness, that they felt that they had never been able to address their victims and ask for apology